This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan. We're broadcasting today from the Knight Studio at the Newseum, Washington, D.C.'s newest museum devoted to journalism and the news business. The money rolls into both campaigns. Both camps cry foul and flip-flop. It's the economy, again, stupid, and Charlie Rangel remains the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. For now, it's Wednesday and time once again for the Political Junkie.
There you go again.
When I hear your new ideas, I'm reminded of that ad. Where's the beef?
Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice.
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
My mother was born before women could vote. My daughter got to vote for her mother for president.
But I'm the decider.
On Wednesdays, NPR's political editor Ken Rudin joins us at the Newseum to talk about the presidential campaign in particular and politics in general. And this week, new ads, new fundraising numbers, and that bridge to nowhere. Thanks, but no thanks, but thanks. For much of this hour, we'll focus on campaign tactics and the electoral map. But we'll start with the news of the week. As always, Ken begins with a trivia question. Hey, Ken.
Hi, Neil. Well, of course, we'll be talking about Charlie Rangel's problems. He is the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee. Who were the last two chairmen of that committee to resign their chairmanship because of scandal?
If you think you know who the last two chairmen of the House Ways and Means Committee forced to step down because of scandal, give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. We'd also like to welcome our audience here with us at the museum, and thanks very much for coming in. And as long as we're on the House Ways and Means Committee, new problems for Charlie Rangel. This is not going away.
Well, it's not going away. It's just that it keeps adding up every day. The drip, drip, drip becomes more of an open faucet. There are these villas in Dominican Republic that he has had for years that he didn't pay taxes on. He sold a condominium in Florida and didn't report the profits on that. He sold an apartment in Washington where he used to live in 2003, didn't report that. He had a rent-stabilized apartment in New York that he used for a fundraising office, which is against state laws. So, of course, he said he will not step down. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, said, no, I will not force him to step down. Matter of fact, I support him. Now, she has had difficult relationships with African-American members of Congress. She did force William Jefferson, who's under indictment, from the Ways and Means Committee, and the Black Caucus was really watching to see what she would do with that, so she has stayed away from this. But I mean, look, he has no troubles back home. There's an independent running against him in November. He usually gets 95 to 105% the election there. And so that's not the problem. But the problem is if, for example, his PAC just gave $10,000 to Mark Begich, who is the Democratic candidate for the Senate in Alaska. Now, he rejected it. He gave it to... And
Mark Begich's campaign is apparently in difficulty as they're signaling
exactly.
The alarm.
Exactly. Well, there's no place like Nome. But anyway, so he gave the money to the YMCA. In other words, so Rangel could help the Republican Party become an issue in November.
All right. Obviously what you're hearing is some sort of an alarm going off here at the museum in the Knight Studio, and we're going to inquire as to its nature before we abandon our posts here. It's 5440 or fight or something like that. Anyway, we're going to stay here with us at the museum. In the meantime, the candidates are, well, that's interesting. We're told that there's a possible... we're going to keep broadcasting. There's a possible emergency in the building, but we're going to stay right here. And until we find out more, we're going to stay right here. Anyway, talking about emergencies, on Wall Street this week, there's been obviously a financial landslide, an earthquake. And in the meantime, this has shifted the subject of the presidential campaigns yet again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for a long time, it had been perhaps Russian incursion into Georgia. Perhaps and then it was Sarah Palin for the longest time. Perhaps it was the alarm that's going off in my ears.
Does anybody else want to say dive, dive, dive?
But at the same time, this has... If the conversation about the election goes from Sarah Palin to the economy, I suspect that this is good news for the Democratic Party. John McCain has always been known as a deregulator. He's never had much expertise in the economy. And just on Monday, even as the headlines were going so bad, yes.
This is what he had to say.
Our economy, I think, still
The fundamentals of our economy are strong, but these are very, very difficult times.
And he's seemed to have been wrong-footed on his own message on that one.
Yeah, and he backtracked shortly afterwards. But it reminds me of when President Ford said that the polls are not, controlled by Soviet Union. So
I think. And then yesterday he said, bailing out AIG would be the terrible thing. We need to stand firm, draw the line on moral hazard. And then this morning, well, they were forced to do that.
But he also said that, if he's elected, he's the kind of guy who would stand up to greed on Wall Street. Again, this is not something he's ever done before. This has not been his position in the past. But he's trying to use his mantra of change to indicate that he would bring change to Washington, even though the Republican Party has backed deregulation all these years.
And the Senator McCain is also, as throughout this campaign, the McCain-McPalin committee has been very quick with advertising, including this ad that they rolled out on Monday, even as the news was hitting.
Our economy in crisis. Only proven reformers John McCain and Sarah Palin can fix it. Tougher rules on Wall Street to protect your life savings. No special interest giveaways. Lower taxes to create new jobs. Offshore drilling to reduce gas prices. McCain-Palin. Leadership. Experience. For the change we need.
So that ad, they're trying to jump on this issue, but again, you would think a Democratic issue more than a Republican issue.
Absolutely, and Barack Obama is using it to his advantage. He said, I'm not blaming John McCain for the problems on Wall Street, but I am blaming Republican policies of the past 8 years, and John McCain adheres to those policies.
Now let's get some answers to our trivia question. Now, again, the last two chairmen of the House Ways and Means Committee to be forced to step down because of scandal. Let's begin with Sydney. Sydney with us from Wilmington, North Carolina.
Yeah, I say Dan Rostenkowski from Chicago is one.
That's correct. 1994, when he was indicted on some felony economic problems, right?
And the other one?
Yeah. It's tough. I'm going to go with William Jefferson from Arkansas.
Well, there's a William Jefferson who's a member from Louisiana who was a member of House of Ways and Means who was forced off the committee after he was indicted, but he was never chairman.
Cold cash, but not the chairman. So anyway, thanks very much for the idea, and let's see if we can go now to, Vince. Vince with us from Lowell in Michigan, excuse me.
Yes, it's Vance.
Vance, I couldn't read. If I could read, okay. I wouldn't have to be in radio.
Okay, and it's Jim Wright and Dan Rostenkowski.
Well, Jim Wright, of course, was Speaker of the House, and he did step down in 1989 because of a book writing, a financial scandal, but he was never chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee.
Okay.
Again, halfway home, but nice try.
We'll keep trying.
All right. Thanks very much. Let's see if we can go now to, this is Ken, and Ken's with us.
By the way,
from...
that last answer, Wright was wrong.
Ken with us from Nashville in Tennessee. Another Ken. Go ahead, Ken.
The other one would be Wilbur Mills from Arkansas.
There you go.
That's correct answer. Wilbur Mills in 1974 was caught carousing with Fannie Fox, the stripper, and I think we're hearing more things about what's going on.
What we're hearing going on, Ken, congratulations, you win the no prize. The audience also gets a no prize as just in an excess of caution, they're being asked to depart the building in an orderly manner. We panelists, however, are being asked to stay.
Should they applaud as they're leaving, just so we can hear the applause for the last time? Yeah, okay.
Thanks very much for coming, everybody, and we apologize for the inconvenience. Anyway, let's introduce our two guests. Slightly distracting here. We're going to be talking about, for the rest of this, the rest of the junkie segment, we're going to be talking with Anna Greenberg, a senior vice president and principal at Greenberg, Quinlan, and Rosner, a Democratic pollster, and with Vin Weber, former Republican member of Congress from Minnesota and now a Republican strategist and loyalist. They're both with us here at the Knight Studio, and we're feeling very lonely at the moment. But in any case, as the campaign turns again, Anna, this has turned into a much closer campaign than anybody anticipated. McCain got a big bounce out of his convention.
He did get a bounce. I would note that going into the Democratic convention, the race had been closing. Obama had about a 6-point lead in the months leading up to the convention, but by the end of August, he was only leading by about 3. He got a small bump, but then McCain got a much bigger one. So actually, the race looks sort of similar to how it looked sort of right before we went into the convention.
And Vin, why do you think it has narrowed so dramatically?
Well, I I agree with what Anna said. I think the race is really, with the exception of a couple of big bounces during the convention, a little bit bigger for the Republicans, but bounces for both of them, the race has been remarkably consistent for a long time. Very, very close. Speaking as a Republican, the good news from the Republican standpoint, as we've talked about for many months now, is how come Obama is not achieving a significant lead, given that the Democrats have a big lead over the Republicans by virtually every other measurement. And we began seeing that even before he closed down the nomination process in those last primaries with Hillary Clinton, which now seems eons ago,
yeah.
But where she was beating him, even after numerically he had secured the nomination, or at least he was telling us every day that he'd secured the nomination. So there's a concern about Senator Obama that he has not yet resolved, even as the nation would like to make a change. I think what Senator McCain has done successfully at the convention was, to the maximum extent possible, established himself as a very independent force from President Bush. It's never going to be entirely possible because he's got that R after his name, but he took control of the convention. I thought that opening day when he said we're going to shut down the convention basically because of Hurricane Gustav showed him sort of in charge of the party as opposed to Bush. The selection of Palin separated him further from Bush. That's all served him well.
Ken, one quick question?
Yeah, I think it's true that the national polls do have them very close, but if I were the Democrats, I'd be a little nervous right now because of individual key state polls. There's a new Quinnipiac poll in New Jersey that has Obama up by 3, that white voters have overwhelmingly shifted to McCain over the last couple of days. There's a Rasmussen poll in Pennsylvania out this week, 47-47. So
what happens is the state polls follow the national polls, in part because there are many fewer state polls than there are national polls. What we're seeing in a lot of the state polls is the first poll post-Republican convention. What we're seeing now nationally, and it's very early to tell, looks like there's some movement away from McCain and Palin.
We're going to turn things over to Ron Elving back in Studio 3A at NPR headquarters. But if we don't come back, I don't mean make that all clear. All clear. Ron, never mind. You can stay there in Studio 3A or go back to your office. We're going to come back here.
So we survived this dire threat.
With more with political junkie Ken Roon and Anna Greenberg and Vin Weber. So come on with your calls. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. The skeleton crew will return. I'm Neil Cohn, and this is NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan, broadcasting live from the Knight Studio under siege in the museum in Washington, D.C. Some of the audience is even trickling back as we've been given the all clear. National polls show the race for president all but tied, with roughly 7 weeks to go before November 4th. Both the major candidates struggling to get back on message throughout all the coverage of the economy and back-to-back hurricanes, among other news. So how do you win this thing? Ken Rudin, our political junkie, joins us, as he does every Wednesday. We're talking with two veteran campaigners, Anna Greenberg, senior vice president at Greenberg Quinlan Rossner, a political consulting firm in Washington. She worked on the presidential campaigns of Bill Clinton and Al Gore. Vin Weber, a Republican strategist and lobbyist, former Republican member of the House of Representatives from Minnesota. If you're paying attention to the campaigns, what is each side doing right? What are they doing wrong? 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org. Let's see if we can go to a caller. And this is Owen, and Owen's with us from Olympia, Washington.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I'm just calling. I think that what McCain's done right was picking Palin was just a brilliant idea. He managed to move the debate over to back to women's rights, even though, the Republican Party is probably the last party that really should have a monopoly on that, and has also energized the base by picking somebody that's completely crazy.
Well, they're certainly going crazy for her, Anna Greenberg, and she has indeed energized the base.
She has, and I think that part of the bump that McCain got out of the convention was from undecideds who were sort of leaning towards McCain but couldn't quite bring themselves to vote for Obama, and then Palin sort of pushed them over the edge. CBS polling showed a movement of undecided pre and post. And, despite the many, many news reports that she's moved huge numbers of women over the Republican Party, that's actually not true. More men moved towards McCain than women. But I think she's got some real issues, and the lack of vetting, I think, is, you know, the consequences of that are pretty clear, just with story after story coming out of Alaska about her and her administration and her issue position. So I'm not sure in the end that it's going to, you know, get McCain all that much.
Vin Weber, she doesn't seem to be that exposed. I mean, there are these Troopergate allegations and that sort of thing, but they seem to have successfully painted that, truly or not, as tainted.
Yeah, I think she's going to survive the vetting process better than you think. I don't think at the end of the day this is going to be the race that breaks political science history and the vice president determines the outcome. I don't think that. I do think she's brought certain specific things to the ticket. She has energized the base, particularly the evangelical base. That's not going to change. They're going to remain motivated all the way through the election, and that counts. There's one additional thing that she's done, one additional asset she brings to the ticket that we haven't talked about, besides the fact that all these crazy people like me were energized by her. She has identified herself more with the concerns of the average person, according to the polls we've seen, than any of the other candidates on either ticket. That's amazing. If you ask the question, who do you think identifies with your concerns or who do you identify with most, she beats McCain, Obama, and Biden. That's an asset, particularly an asset, I think, in trying to communicate about this economic mess we're facing right now. It's not that she necessarily has a solution to the problem, but if people want to look at somebody that might actually feel the pain that they're feeling, the polls tell us Sarah Palin's doing that a little better than anybody else.
And Ken, she certainly has helped the Republicans get back into the fundraising contest.
She has, absolutely. First of all, of course, you know, John McCain can only accept $84 million in public funds. He's decided, unlike Barack Obama, who's raising a ton of money, he can only take public funds. But McCain Palin have raised money for the Republican National Committee, which in itself has outraised the Democratic National Committee. So the Republicans are on a pretty even financial footing, which is not what anybody expected a couple of weeks ago.
Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. And let's go to David. David is with us from Chicago.
Hello.
Hi, David.
I wanted to call with a comment just to see what your panelists thought about this. I am a Democrat. My wife is a Republican. We used to live in Colorado where we were registered voters with our respective parties. And we've been living in Chicago for 5 years where we have been registered voters with our respective parties. And my wife received a call from the McCain campaign telling her that they were sending her an absentee ballot from Colorado, and they encouraged her to fill it out and get her absentee ballot and, you know, vote for their kind of change. And my question is, are they encouraging voter fraud, and is this a common occurrence? We checked it out. We're still on the rolls in Colorado.
That's the answer.
Because of anything we did, I think just Colorado
doesn't get around to purging the polls for the list for quite a while. You would know these rules a lot better than I would.
The caller is a victim of the fact that Colorado is one of the most heavily targeted states in this contest. Unfortunately, Illinois is not. But if they're still on the voter rolls.
Not a swing state.
Swing state. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, if they are still on the voter rolls in Colorado, though, there's no sense in my mind that there's anything fraudulent going on here. The McCain people are simply identifying registered voters, tracking them down wherever they are, and trying to get them to vote.
Howard Dean once talked about a 50-state strategy, but it really is not a 50-state. It's the same 14 states that are in play that they were in 2004 and 2000.
That's right.
Anna Greenberg, do you think
I do, but I just wanted to, you know, what this caller raised is something that we haven't focused on, but the election actually starts this week because early voting is starting in Michigan and North Carolina, two states, certainly Michigan and potentially North Carolina, certainly at the Senate level and gubernatorial it's targeted. And we're going to see from now until Election Day, state after state, more and more early voting. And so in a lot of ways, what's happening today actually has a pretty big impact because there are people voting today in this election.
Michigan, very much a swing state.
Yeah, and in Michigan, there are very high numbers of older people who vote absentee.
Thanks very much for the call, David.
So should I just register for my absentee ballot and vote for Obama then?
In Illinois, please.
Just don't vote twice.
Thanks
right,
very much.
So good. I just vote once. Thanks. Good.
So long. Here's Steve in Louisville writes us, it's interesting to hear the McCain campaign stating that the economy is strong with audible alarms sounding in the room. So anyway, let's go back to the phone. This is from Grand Rapids, and it's Brian. Brian in Michigan.
Good afternoon, folks. We're going to have Senator McCain and Governor Palin here this afternoon. What I see happening is they strayed a little bit, talking about lipstick on pigs and not really sticking to the issues. If the Democrats make a plea for, you know, they're more for the working class values, and the Republicans for, you know, the their economy, I think it would be a slam dunk for Barack Obama.
Anna, the economic issue does seem to cut Democratic.
Well, first of all, I think that's right, but that's exactly what the Obama campaign is doing. And if you look at the new advertising that he has out and his two-minute ad that which is pretty astonishing that he's got a two-minute ad, it very much is focused on the economy and the contrast with McCain, and also McCain as a kind of continuation of Bush economic policies. And I think that is very fertile ground for Obama. I would also just say, with regards to Palin on these issues, in the research I've done so far, it is true that women especially sort of feel like they can relate to her. She seems like a normal mom, but they still want to know a lot more about what she would do about the things they worry about every day, like how they're going to pay their bills. And they don't think they've heard that. So it may be that in principle she seems like she can relate to people better, but for a lot of the most economically stressed women voters, they feel like they haven't heard much from her about what, you know, she would do to make their lives better.
She will be taking questions today in Grand Rapids, so it'll be interesting to see how she responds to the economic news of the day or the week.
Yeah, and Vin, I wanted to ask you, it seems like for the past several weeks the Democrats have been on the defensive, Republicans more on the offensive. Could this change that around?
It could. The economy certainly puts Republicans on the defensive when there's a Republican in the White House. But as you see from that ad we played earlier of John McCain's, John McCain does have a couple of cards to play on this. One is the fact that right throughout this campaign, he's got much higher marks than Senator Obama on who's the better commander-in-chief. The ad you played earlier is almost an attempt to take that confidence level of a commander-in-chief and translate it to the economic policy front. Who do you trust most in times of crisis? This is not a national security crisis. It's an economic crisis. It may not work, but it's a card that Senator McCain has to play.
At the same time, he has to ask questions. How come you're for regulation now when you've been against them your whole life?
And he's also made a series of, including a comment he made, you know, on Monday, of not you know, understanding the economy as well as he should. People's economic problems are psychological. I mean, he has said a lot of things, as have his top advisors, that make it very hard to translate his strength in commander-in-chief to some kind of confidence in talking around economic issues.
Right. Thanks very much for the call.
Neil?
I'm sorry, I hung up on you. I tried to call back. I apologize. I didn't know you had something else to say. In the meantime, let's go to Miranda. And Miranda is with us in Salem, Michigan.
Massachusetts.
All right, I keep guessing. I see the M. I can't see the other letter. Go ahead, please.
Hi, my comment is that I think the Obama campaign should be more aggressive in attacking McCain on his poor economic policy judgment, especially has to do with the financial sector. He was for deregulation, and he was one of the original Kidding Five. And also, if you look at his judgment in terms of his top choice of economic advisors, they are all in the financial deregulation camp, which is a major contributor to our current crisis.
Well, in terms of aggression, this is not Miranda is not alone in asking Barack Obama, among Democrats, to be more aggressive. And Anna Greenberg, he seems to have a hard time getting down and dirty.
Well, his style is not as aggressive as some Democrats would like him to be. That being said, if you look post-Republican convention and you look at he's run some very tough ads on lobbying. And if you look at the tone, in fact, he just, you know, yesterday and the day before was talking about exactly what Miranda raised, the fact that McCain was a supporter of deregulation and now sort of is against it. So I think that there's been, you know, a sense that they want him to come out stronger, and I think he has.
Let's go now to David. Excuse me, hit the wrong button again. There we go, David. David's with us from Philadelphia. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm calling really sort of about this idea that I guess Stephen Colbert became famous for, truthiness. It seems that the campaigns are relying a lot on truthiness this year, where the media is doing its job and disproving things that are false, and yet the campaigns continue to say them.
For example, that Obama ad you were just mentioning, Anna Greenberg, said this McCain advisor lobbies for Georgia, this McCain advisor lobbies for Russia. Well, they lobbied for all of those people. And indeed, nevertheless, we've also had a situation where Barack Obama has been, as you say, more aggressive in responding to some of McCain's attacks. And let's hear this ad from Barack Obama.
I will not take the low road to the highest office in this land.
What's happened to John McCain? He's running the sleaziest ads ever, truly vile. Dishonest smears that he repeats even after it's been exposed as a lie. Truth be damned. A disgraceful, dishonorable campaign. After voting with Bush 90% of the time, proposing the same disastrous economic policies, it seems deception is all he has left.
And the same quote could be basically used from Barack Obama, that he would not get down into personal attacks and mudslinging Vin Weber. This has really turned into the same kind of campaign that we've seen in the last 8 years.
Yeah, there's problems for both sides in this, but the problem for Obama is that he really cast his campaign as being something very different from the start, that it was going to be uplifting, that he was going to get past this kind of thing. And so to a greater extent than McCain, I think that it has a potential for a little bit of a blowback against him, that we're into a really punching contest. But that's where we are, and I don't think it's going to change.
Thanks very much for the call, by the way. We're talking with Vin Weber, a Republican, and with Democrat Anna Greenberg. Of course, political junkie Ken Rudin is with us. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Just quickly about that thing. First of all, John McCain has always talked about he's a straight talker, straight talk express. I think most people feel that some of the charges made in Obama, the claims made in Obama in McCain ads are far more outlandish and far away from the truth than Obama, I think. I think both sides would agree with that.
Some people may think that.
Well,
it's certainly the bases on both sides have been energized. Are we, Anna Greenberg, talking about a battle for a very slim proportion of the electorate here?
I don't think so. I think that if you look at, there really are two issues here. There's turnout, which is about, you know, motivating base voters, and there's a huge number of new registrants who are younger, minority, and getting them out and making sure they vote is a huge piece of Obama winning this race. And then you have other groups that we think of as swing, older white blue-collar voters. There's a lot of them. 27% of the electorate are older white women. So I don't think this is a narrow slice of undecideds. I think there's a huge mobilization and turnout issue for Obama, and then there's a kind of persuasion. The persuasion piece is this older group of voters.
And Vin Weber, Democrats are no longer alone in the mastery of ground campaigns, getting out the vote.
The Obama campaign has a head start on the Republicans on the ground game, but not as big a head start as they might have one time hoped. The Republicans have the infrastructure in place. They now, as Ken pointed out before, the fundraising has picked up considerably, so they're going to have the money to do it. And then again, one of the things that Sarah Palin concretely brings to this campaign is lots of volunteers to do those jobs at the grassroots level. So I think we're going to be competitive at the grassroots level with the Democrats. But they thought they had an advantage on that as recently as a month ago.
But I would say that the vast majority of the new registrants are Democratic. So, I mean, it is true that there may be more energy on the Republican side around mobilizing their base. There are more new voters on the Democratic side.
We have a question here at the museum.
Oh, I just had a comment. My name is Andre. I'm a college student originally from Philadelphia. I just want to say that I think both parties are trying too hard to make themselves seem human and fallible and not doing enough to make themselves seem like authoritative politicians who can effectively solve our nation's problems. Not to say that McCain and Obama can't identify with the common man, but I think voters want to see people who are uncommon. If any average guy could or woman could be president of the United States, then any person in this room could be president. We want to see the cream of the crop of this nation and not just people who can identify with the factory workers and the single mothers and things like that.
Yeah. Doesn't this go back to the previous campaign of about 8 years ago when it seemed to come down as to who you'd rather have a beer with?
Well, that's what people have been saying for years, is that that's the sort of test at the end of the day, that people don't go down a checklist of issues and tally it up and decide who they're going to vote for. They make a judgment about the individual and its likability and character and things like that. I want to say, though, that the questioner, I think, really exhibited some great political strategy there, particularly on this issue of the economy, without respect to either candidate. I think that the candidate that gets past anger, whether it's anger at the other party or anger at Wall Street, and actually projects a sense that I can take control of this situation and right the ship, that's a candidate that can win the economic issue. Now, I don't know if either one of these candidates can. They're invested in a different type of strategy, showing how angry they are about it. But I think if voters are truly scared about the economy, they want to be reassured by somebody that they will be a good captain of the ship and they know where they're going on this.
Anna?
Well, I also think they want to know that somebody understands their problems. So empathy and connection. And I think both candidates have had a harder time with that. I think part of the reason why Obama is not farther ahead and was not farther ahead going into the convention was that he was not I think communicating, I mean, he, you know, sort of the empathy and connection with people's economic problems, I think that that has changed. I think McCain has a terrible time, both because of his own personal discomfort, but also, you know, sort of where he comes from, you know, eight houses and, you know, that sort of thing. So I think it's that being authoritative about it's important, but having empathy and connection, people are really struggling and they want to know somebody understands them.
Well, thank you both for your time today. We're going to be back, I'm sure, asking you again, how do you win this thing as we get closer to Election Day? Though, as Anna pointed out, that starts pretty soon. And we'd like to thank Vin Weber, former Republican congressman from the state of Minnesota, now a Republican strategist and lobbyist, and also Anna Greenberg, senior vice president and principal at Greenberg Quinlan Rosner, a Democratic pollster. Also, of course, Ken Rudin, our political junkie. We want to go out with these emails. This isn't a question, just a comment. I'm a public safety officer responsible for fire safety at a large academic institution. Please, please, please don't ignore the fire alarm. And this one from Mark. It's 2 p.m. somewhere and our alarm is going off. Who do you want on your NPR station? The political junkie. When we come back, we're going to be talking about how to get out of the habit. 12-step program. Stay with us. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.